1,000 of them. Each one is 10 feet high, bound in lead, and the letters are so small that they have to be read with a magnifying glass. When people say, "It is written," it is written here. There are fewer metaphors around than people think. Every month, the abbot and 2 senior monks go into the cave where the books are kept. It used to be the duty of the abbot alone, but 2 other reliable monks were included after the unfortunate case of the 59th abbot, who made $1 million in small bets before his fellow monks caught up with him. Besides, it's dangerous to go in alone. The sheer concentratedness of history, sleeting past soundlessly out into the world, can be overwhelming. Time is a drug. Too much of it kills you. The 493rd abbot folded his wrinkled hands and addressed Lu Tse, one of his most senior monks. The clear air and untroubled life of the secret valley was such that all the monks were senior. Besides, when you work with time every day, some of it tends to rub off.
"The place is Omnia," said the abbot, "on the Clachian coast."
"I remember," said Lu Tse. "Young fellow called Osori, wasn't there?"
"Things must be carefully observed," said the abbot. "There are pressures, free will, predestination, the power of symbols, turning point. You know all about this."
"Haven't been to Omnia for, must be 700 years," said Lu Tse. "Dry place. Shouldn't think there's a ton of good soil in the whole country either."
"Well, off you go then," said the abbot.
"I shall take my mountains," said Lu Tse. "The climate will be good for them."
And he also took his broom and his sleeping mat. The history monks don't go in for possessions. They find most things wear out in a century or two. It took him 4 years to get to Omnia. He had to watch a couple of battles and an assassination on the way, otherwise they would have just been random events. It was the year of the notional serpent, or 200 years after the declaration of the prophet Abyss, which meant that the time of the 8th prophet was imminent. That was the reliable thing about the church of the great god Om. It had very punctual prophets. You could set your calendar by them, if you had one big enough. And, as is generally the case around the time a prophet is expected, the church redoubled its efforts to be holy. This was very much like the bustle you get in any large concern when the auditors are expected, but tended towards taking people suspected of being less holy and putting them to death in 100 ingenious ways. This is considered a reliable barometer of the state of one's piety in most of the really popular religions. There's a tendency to declare that there is more backsliding around than in the National Toboggan Championships, that heresy must be torn out root and branch, and even arm and leg and iron tongue, and that it's time to wipe the slate clean. Blood is generally considered very efficient for this purpose.
"And it came to pass that in that time the great god Om spake unto Brother, the Chosen One."
Brother paused in mid-hoe and stared around the temple garden.
"Pardon?" he said.
It was a fine day early in the lesser spring. The prayer mills spun merrily in the breeze off the mountains. Bees loafed around in the bean blossoms, but buzzed fast in order to give the impression of hard work. High above, a lone eagle circled. Brother shrugged and got back to the melons.
"Yea, the great god Om spake again unto Brother, the Chosen One."
"Psst!" Brother hesitated. Someone had definitely spoken to him from out of the air. Perhaps it was a demon. Novice master Brother Numrod was hot on the subject of demons. Impure thoughts and demons. One led to the other. Brother was uncomfortably aware that he was probably overdue a demon. The thing to do was to be resolute and repeat the 9 fundamental aphorisms.
"Once more the great god Om spake unto Brother, the Chosen One."
"Are you deaf, boy?"
The hoe thudded onto the baking soil. Brother spun around. There were the bees, the eagle, and at the far end of the garden old Brother Lu Tse, dreamily forking over a dung heap. The prayer mills whirled reassuringly along the walls. He made the sign with which the prophet Ishkibul had cast out spirits.